From listeners supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, February 28th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chish, Hawa, Toeksik Nusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, spring is in the air, and that means Taku Wind's spring concert from Juno Community Bands is here. We get a preview of what's in store this Saturday night. SIGLA, the Southeast LGBTQIA+ Alliance, has a full slate of March events, including yoga, Pride Month planning, and a book and media swap. We chat with Summer Christensen and get all the details. Clinkett and Haida is offering a CERT, or Community Emergency Response Team, training in March. We talk with the team about how you can get involved. And Tara is here from CBJ Pools to talk the Diamond Dash Super Spring Relay Triathlon. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I am your host, Boston Christopher. And that is a little bit of what you're going to be hearing this weekend during the Community Bands Taku Wind Spring Concert. It's this Saturday, March 1st at 7 p.m. at Thunder Mountain Middle School. And I am joined in the studio now with some of the featured artists. Sarah McNair Grove, president of Juno Community Bands. Wasa Iati Sarah, how's it going today?
Great. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. And then Ken, how you doing? It's nice to see you.
So far, so good. Thank you very
Excellent.
Much.
Trumpet soloist, Wasa Iati. Pleasure to have you here. And Alan, your conductor.
Yes.
And I should say, tell us your full names, please.
Alan Young.
Alan Young. And where are you from, Alan?
I am from Juno.
From Juno. Yep. Okay, great. And you're the conductor. And Ken?
I'm Ken Geyer, and I was the director at Juno Douglas High School for 15 years, and Alan was one of my students.
Oh, that's an awesome connection. Can you move forward just a little bit to that microphone?
I can.
There you go. Thank you so much. Awesome. So, well, Gunath Chish, Haya Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio today. So, Sarah, let's start with you. Juno Community Bands does so many wonderful things and has so many different projects. And this one is particular, the Taku Winds. Tell us a little bit about the Taku Winds Spring Concert.
Okay. Taku Winds is our sort of, I'll call it exclusive ensemble for our more experienced players. So we welcome anybody. If you have some experience playing in high school or college, that's probably the level that Taku Winds plays at. And this concert is our spring concert, and we are just delighted to have Ken Geyer playing a wonderful trumpet solo. We try to feature one of our players every spring, and this time it was Ken's turn. And we're also delighted to have Alan be our conductor. He's played with us in the past, but this is his first time conducting, and it's been fun working with him.
I love it. And the connection between Ken and Alan, it's like that old saying, the student becomes the master a little bit there, Alan. So what's it like conducting the Taku Winds Spring Concert?
It's been a lot of fun. I've been working in the school district as a music teacher for a while. And so I have a lot of my former students are now in the band, which is really fun because it's kind of just continues that chain because my former teacher is one of the soloists. And so that's just a nice connection for me to make. And it's always just a great opportunity and experience to be able to make music with friends, colleagues, and this community.
Absolutely. And Ken, what's it like to be working with your student as your boss in essence?
Well, I've had a couple of different students of mine that have directed me, and I'm always amazed they turned out as well as they did because I was their director, and despite of me, they still
They figured it out.
In spite of me, they still figured it out.
Yeah. So. And so you mentioned you were at the school for 15 years.
Yeah. I was at JDHS from 95 to 2010 when I retired.
2010. Okay. And where were you before that? Ooh.
Well, I was in Barrow, Alaska for 7 years.
Oh, nice.
And I was in Angoon, Alaska for 6.5 years.
Oh, wow.
And I was in Illinois for another 6 years.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I wish I'd learned more, but you know.
It is what it is, right?
It is what it is.
So tell us about the piece that we heard and what we're going to be hearing on Saturday, Ken.
This is Artunian Trumpet Concerto, and it's by Alexander Artunian. It was one, he did write other pieces, but this is the one he's most known for. I started playing this a little bit when I was in college, and then I started teaching, and of course, you don't have that much time when you're a music teacher. So I kind of let that go. And then, I don't know, after I retired, I decided to put down the baton and pick up the trumpet. And surprisingly, there wasn't any dust in it. I was like amazed. But anyway, it came out pretty well. And so I happened to listen to this on YouTube. And I'd not heard it. I'd heard it before with pianos. And I had already played it. In fact, I played it with Kyle Farley Robinson last year at their ensemble concert. And then I've discovered that it was also written for band. And I thought, oh, man, that just sounds really neat. So I listened to several recordings of it. And it's such a wonderful piece because it's more of a conversation than it is just a soloist. And the soloist kind of will introduce one idea, and then the band will come in and take it over. And the soloist kind of comes along and accompanies the band. So it's kind of a neat thing. And then, interestingly enough, the band introduces the soloist to a new idea. And then the soloist takes over and once again comes in. So it just kind of goes back and forth like that. So it's not just all about me. It's also about the band and different instruments in the band that get
tend. And is that unusual in music?
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's really all that unusual, but it's just, of course, it's called a concerto, which is obviously, a solo that's has an accompaniment in the process, like an orchestra or a band. But, it just seems like this one has more sharing. And I don't know. I'm not had that many different concertos that I've really played in, but most of the time I just feel like I'm kind of, I'll have the soloist and I'll just be in the background. This one seems like it has a lot more sharing going on.
I love the way you describe it, sort of, more of a conversation than, we play, and then you stand out and then you do your thing and then we go back to it. It's like, it's nice to see that.
And hopefully I don't lead them astray.
Well, that's what Alan's for, right? To keep everybody on track.
Oh, that's, I guess it's a goal.
So Alan, what else are we going to be hearing on Saturday?
Yeah. So we have several more pieces that we're performing. We have, a really fun and energetic piece called Symphonic Dances Number 3. It's by Clifton Williams. And that has a lot of rhythmic energy, and it's a really fun piece of music. We have a tone poem by Thomas Duffy called Butterflies and Bees. And that's really a neat piece of music. It's a little bit more ethereal, and you're kind of transported into a soundscape of these swarms of insects, but in a good way.
Not to get eaten alive.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound very appealing, but the music is much better than my description of it. And then another one of the pieces that we're performing is Mach Morris, which is composed, arranged by Percy Grainger, who is he's a famous concert pianist, but then he's living in England for much of his life, and he wrote a lot of his music as kind of arrangements of folk songs. So you're going to hear that, and then the other piece that we're doing is we had two others. We are being joined by some members of the Thunder Mountain Middle School Band, and other middle school musicians. So there was a opportunity for a piece to play with them, and wanted very much to be able to extend that invitation and have you know, the next generation of musicians join us and collaborate with us. I think they're having a pretty good time with it. And then we have an Eric Whitaker piece that is called The Seal Lullaby. And when I was programming the piece, I was looking at the concert date and I was like, oh, that's my son's birthday. And he'll be turning one. And so I wanted to pick a song that we could play for him. It's an evening concert, so figured a lullaby might be helpful.
Oh, that's so sweet. And he's turning, his birthday's March 1st?
It's the second, but yes.
Okay,
yes.
But I was going to be like one on the first, and you're doing the song. That would be kind of cool, but we'll call it all that anyway.
Right.
They don't know any better at this point.
Exactly, yeah. It's a weekend of celebrations for him.
Yeah, and Sarah, working with the students from Thunder Mountain Middle School, that's a wonderful opportunity for the Juno community bands to welcome them in, right?
It really is. I think they have a good time. A clarinet player sits next to me, and she's doing a great job, and she has a good time. And each section has welcomed in, you know, the players in their section. It's just a great opportunity for us and for them both.
I love that. And Ken, when did you start playing the trumpet? Did you mention that earlier? Did you start as a young person doing that?
I could tell you that if you want to go back that far. I was 9 years old.
Nine, okay.
When I first started playing, and I've played a lot of solos when I was in grade school and when I was in junior high school, and of course high school, and even in college. But then after I, you know, started teaching, I just kind of played along with groups once in a while, but just really didn't practice it seriously. But a piece like this, you have to practice seriously.
And yeah.
So I've been working at it for about 2 years now, pretty steadily. So
wow.
Yeah, we'll hope it shows tomorrow night.
I'm sure it will. And the concert is tomorrow night. It's Saturday, March 1st. It's Juno Community Bands playing the Taku Winds Spring Concert. It's at 7 p.m. at Thunder Mountain High School. And Sarah, where do we get tickets?
You can get tickets at the Jack or online through the Jack ticketing system. And they are also available at the door.
At the door. Okay, that's awesome. And what's coming up next for the Juno Community Bands?
Well, after that, on May 2nd, we have our chamber music concert. So that's ensembles of duets, trios, you know, smaller groups. And then after that, of course, we're heading into the 4th of July, and we'll have our Independence Day celebration music and the parades.
I love that. That's so great. Well, Gwyneth Cheese for coming in today and telling us a little bit about it, giving us a sneak peek at what we're going to be hearing tomorrow night. I love that, Gwyneth Cheese. And what do you say in music again? Do you say, I know in the theater it's break a leg, but what do you all say?
I don't know. Do we have a, I don't, we're all looking at each other.
Brass
I don't think
players
we say.
Sometimes say break a lip, but still not a good idea.
We just say play beautifully.
Play beautifully. Yeah. That's good. Okay. That sounds so good. Well, really appreciate you coming in, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Up next, we talk with Summer Christensen from Sigla about a full calendar of March event happenings. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a little Sounds Wild.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
A father and son are hunting Sitka black-tailed deer on Kodiak Island, and they spot a large buck. Kodiak Island is renowned for producing big deer. The majority of Alaska's biggest black-tailed deer have been harvested on Kodiak Island, and deer aren't even native to Kodiak. All those deer on Kodiak are from a source population of just 24 animals. Most of those were from, you guessed it, Sitka, on Baranof Island in southeast Alaska, transplanted to Kodiak about 100 years ago. At that time, Sitka was pretty much at the northern edge of the natural range of black-tailed deer. In 1924, 14 deer from Sitka were released on Long Island, adjacent to Kodiak Island. 6 years later, two deer from Prince of Wales Island were transplanted. The population did not seem to be thriving, so in 1934, 9 deer were captured near Petersburg and transplanted to Kodiak. Then the population grew steadily, and legal hunting began in 1953, when 34 deer were harvested. By the late 1960s, deer had spread to adjacent Afognak Island, and the population was thriving. The harvest in 1967 was 1,500 deer. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. March begins tomorrow, and local group SIGLA, the Southeast LGBTQIA+ Alliance, has a bevy of events planned for you to take part in. I am joined now in studio by Summer Christensen to break it all down for us. Gwyneth Cheesh, Ha'igudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here. Summer, Wasa'iyati, how you doing?
Good. Gwyneth Cheesh for having me.
Of course.
I'm excited to be here and talk about all these amazing events that we have going on this March.
Yeah. When you sent this to me, I was like, unreal how many things and how diverse the offerings are that you have on this calendar. So let's just get started.
Okay. Yeah. We normally try and do two or three events every month, but with a lot of queer people, trans folks, maybe not feeling so safe, we're trying to add more events. We're also trying to post more flyers around town since a lot of people are getting off of Meta, like Facebook and Instagram. So the first event that we have that I'm really excited about will be Saturday, March 8th. It is a yoga and wellness mini retreat at the Ok Bay Yoga Studio. It's from 1 to 3 p.m. It is totally free, but we ask that you go on the QR code on the flyer. You can find the link on our website and get a spot.
Okay. And that website is aksegla.org, aksegla.org. Right?
Yep. And if you go around town, you should see a March events flyer. And then if you see a bright purple flyer with somebody doing yoga, it's that one.
Okay.
And there's QR codes on there.
And the QR codes on there. Okay. It's like you said, it's free, but spots are limited. And it's where is it going to be? Oh, it's at Ok Bay Yoga. And what does it mean, mini retreat? What does that mean?
So we're going to do, I'm going to teach an hour of yoga. We might do some meditation, and then we'll do a small community activity together. Just really being in community, creating a sense of safety.
I see. Okay, great. And it's going from 1 to 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. And I'm sure people could get together beforehand and have lunch or afterwards and have tea or coffee or something. And
yeah, and we're hoping to have snacks and tea.
Oh, nice. So. Okay, excellent. That's cool. And then we have another event coming on March 11th. Let's talk a little bit about that.
So every month until Pride Month in June, we have our Pride Month planning. So this will be from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Downtown Library on Tuesday night, the 11th. You'll meet with a couple, if you come, you can meet with a couple board members and just bring fresh ideas for Pride Month and help plan and make it wonderful.
And what do you all plan to be doing? Do we have an idea of what we're going to be doing for this June?
We have our usual events that include like a clothing swap, the pet parade, a prom. Trying to think of our other big ones. I can't remember off the top of my head, but we always have a calendar of events. So it's always nice to have fresh ideas.
So if somebody has something like, hey, we've done all these things before, why don't we try XYZ?
Mm-hmm.
And people can bring those ideas to these planning sessions.
Exactly.
Okay, that's great. And that's on Tuesday, March 11th. 6 to 8 at the Downtown Library.
And then 2 days later, March 15th, I am really excited about this one. This is a book and media swap from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Mendenhall Library.
Yeah, this sounds really cool.
Yeah.
This is your first time doing this.
This is our first time doing it. We've
done
a clothing swap before. We just had one last week. It went really, really well. We had over 20 people there, which was amazing.
Nice.
The book and media swap, you can bring books, you can bring CDs, if you have VHSs, DVDs, anything that you might find at the amazing bookstore. In the,
love Friends of the Library.
Yeah, Friends of the Library, amazing bookstore.
Yeah.
Even if you have like art supplies or coloring books, things that you don't want to just throw away, but you want to give to somebody else, and then you can get new books and media too.
That's awesome. And where's that going to be again?
That'll be at the Mendenhall Library.
Okay. And that you can bring whatever you want. You've got a list here of books, magazines, graphic novels, comic books. You mentioned CDs, DVDs, puzzles, board games. Yeah, anything that you might think of, you know, recycling in some way, right? That mm-hmm. is possible. Or an awesome game that you're maybe done with. I have this one game where it's like you only play it once.
Oh, okay.
And then it's done.
Yeah. Right?
So you just, it just sits around at that point. You got to gift it to somebody.
Yeah. Like I have a ton of puzzles that my daughter has, she's already done. She doesn't want to do them anymore. So I'm setting those aside for this.
Right.
And I'm really excited to see kind of who shows up that maybe hasn't gone to our clothing swaps before.
Yeah.
And walk away with boxes of goodies.
I love that. That's so good. And then we have a couple weeks, a few more days in between an event. Let's talk about the next one.
Yeah. On Monday, March 24th, which is the first Monday of the spring break, we have an all ages crafting activity. This will be at the Mendenhall Library from 10 to noon. We have done these in the past. They're pretty fun. All the craft supplies are supplied, and you can bring a friend or a family member, and we just sit there for a couple hours and do crafts.
Nice. That sounds so fun.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we did this during spring break, so hopefully families who weren't traveling could come.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Okay, that's cool. And then we round out the month on Seward's Day.
Yeah. So this is a brand new event. We're calling it the Big Gay Hangout. It'll be from 11 to 5 p.m. So it's a 6-hour event. But the idea here is that we'll have different board members kind of coming in and out, bringing, and we'll have lots of supplies. It'll be at the Juno Birch Center's, they call it the big room, but it's just this room in the front where there's like dance classes and yoga classes that happen. So there'll be food and drinks, and there'll be, I don't know, everything from board games to craft supplies to whatever you can think of. We're trying to come up with like lots of activities that people might want to do.
Nice. That sounds really good. And it's a nice long day.
Yeah.
To round out the month there, which is excellent. That's kind of cool. So this is so many events. What's the best way for people to follow CIGLA?
I would say if you are still on social media, Facebook and Instagram, we have an account. If you're not on social media anymore, check out the flyers. I always post these at the libraries, especially. They'll always be there. Or you can go to our website, which has just been updated, and it has a really beautiful calendar that shows all of the events.
Yeah, I know. You want to shout out that board member that did that work?
Yeah, Elizabeth has been working really, really hard to make our website really accessible and make it clear that we have lots going on.
That's awesome. And that's akseagla.org. akseagla.org is the website for that, or you can find out other information around with the flyers, and or if you are on social media, to check out the, is it mostly just AK Sigla on all the socials?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Absolutely. And I know you mentioned at the top of the interview, you know, that people are feeling a little, unsafe, or, you know, things are a little strange right now. Is there, what's your best advice for folks who might want to reach out or have somebody to talk to? Is there something that CIGLA offers? Is there a support group, or is there numbers that you might have access to that people could reach out to you and get?
I would say we have a communication form on our website, and we have been reaching out to people who are contacting us. I would say right now is a great time to show up to the events. If you have been hesitant for whatever reason, you know, we have so many events going on, so there's something for everyone. And I was just like totally blown away at the clothing swap earlier this week on how many new people I saw.
Mm.
So even though I've been on the board, this is my second year now, I just saw so many new faces. Everybody was smiling. If they didn't know each other, they were making conversation. So it's a great way to connect.
Okay, that's excellent. Well, thank you so much, Summer. It sounds like a really busy month. You're not the only one organizing all of these, I hope.
No, not at all. We have a board I realized, though, after I made this flyer, I was like, oh, I'm running three of these. Okay.
You're going to be.
I signed up for that.
It's a busy month for Summer Christensen.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the work that you do. So Sigla, aksigla.org, you can find out more information about all these events. Go see Summer. She's going to be really busy this month. Gonna thank you for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Up next, a community response team training is coming soon with in-person and virtual options. We'll get all the details next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakul'at Florence Marks Shakley. And the word this week is Kutl'ayanaha.
Kutl'ayanaha.
That means star. And here is a sentence.
Kutl'ayanaha tutinuch kekunas ate.
We always see stars when the weather is cold. Let's hear it again.
Kutl'ayanaha.
Star. Gunas Chish Tukhune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakashat Florence Mark Shakley is Shukach Adi and a child of a Chukunidi man. She grew up on Mark's trail in a family that used Tlingit as the primary language and were involved in documenting, teaching, and publishing in Tlingit. She has taught the language at all levels and has served as the teacher of teachers in the Juneau area for decades now.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined now by Alicia Sell from Tlingit and Haida, who's offering a community emergency response team training beginning March 8th. There is no cost for this training. Registration ends, though, in just a few days, so now is the time to hop online at generationssoutheast.org and get yourself signed up. Gunath Chish, Ha'igudi. Thank you so much for joining us, Alicia. Wasa'iati. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. We're in Pelican right now, but I'm doing a CERT class over here for this week for the community here, and had 8 people that we had complete the course here. So a couple more successful people in the program, and trying to continue getting the training out to as many people as we can through Southeast Alaska.
I love that. Yeah, I know Pelican is a little far away, and so we'll see how our internet connection does here in terms of getting you clear and messaged. I do want to play a little clip that Dixie had sent over to me, which sort of talks a little bit about the CERT program. And I believe it's from the chief of the fire department. So let's take a quick listen to that.
CERT training is an outstanding program in our community, amongst others, that teaches you to take care of yourself and your family. And once you're established, you're able to help your neighbors. If you complete the CERT training, you'll receive a CERT emergency response bag. Included in the bag are items such as helmets, ropes, pry bars, gloves, knee pads, flagging materials, tapes, batteries, and flashlights, all things to help your immediate family out and signal that things are taken care of for your neighbors. Trained citizens in our community helps lighten the load for emergency responders. If you're able to take care of basic first aid items, then you don't need to call 911 for basic ambulance needs.
I love that. That seems really awesome. And so let's talk a little bit more, Alicia, about the community emergency response team training. What is that program? What's the design? After people get trained, what's the hope in terms of the work that they would do?
So it really depends on which community they may be from. For Juno, we do have a CERT team that will actually be getting activated probably within the next couple of months. And that team will actually be deployable by the fire department. So say we have another major emergency, another flood, we have a planned activity like a parade. These team members can be deployed by the fire department to be able to help out in those times of needs. So in disaster type things, they've been trained in things like medical operations, fire safety, and flight search and rescue skills. So it will help to build on to the fire department for extra resources in times of disaster to be able to be utilized. In our smaller communities, such as Pelican, where they don't have a fire department, they don't have an EMS system, these people are now going to be able to help themselves. So when we have really large disasters in Pelican, they may be on their own for days, weeks. For example, you know, the flights don't make it here, like that I was supposed to be on today, didn't make it here. So if they are on their own for a while, if they need resources to help themselves, then they're going to be able to protect their lives, their neighbors, themselves, their friends, other people within those communities, while waiting for professional response.
Absolutely. And so tell us a little bit about this particular training that begins on March 8th. How long is it? What are the hours? What do people need to know about that part of it?
So the training itself is about 3 days total. So our class will be held on March 8th, 15th, and 22nd. So we'll have 3 Saturdays in a row. Class started about 9 a.m. each day, and then we'll run until it's scheduled until 5. We're usually done about 4 at the latest, depending on how active we get in our hands-on scenarios. And through those days, I will have some guest teachers in there. So I'll have a member of the Coast Guard come help instruct one of the sections. We'll have some assistance from the fire department that's going to help couple of sections, just to kind of give that variety so you're not just listening to the same teacher drone on for 3 days straight.
Gotcha.
But throughout those 3 days, there'll be some PowerPoint, some classroom session, but also some hands-on skills to actually get to practice some of the skills that they'll learn so that they know that they can provide some of the medical operations that will go through using a fire extinguisher. Yeah. Realizing what it feels like, how it operates, and kind of some other things along that line as well.
Okay, and I'm assuming that GenerationSoutheast.org has a little bit of breakdown of what there would be available. I want to repeat what you said because it broke up just a little bit in there. March 8th, 15th, and 22nd. And Alicia said that training starts around 9 a.m., scheduled to go till 5 each of those days. It does take place here in Juneau at the Generation Southeast campus. And there are virtual options that are available for a few different communities. It looks like Pelican, Kay, Klukwan, Kasan, Saxman, Heidelberg, Angoon, and Klawak are also available as virtual options, which allows more people to attend, because in the in-person one, is there a little bit of a limit on how many people can sign up?
Correct.
So what's the number that people, how many people are in the class in the local version?
We limit the class to no more than 30 participants.
Okay, 30 participants is the limit for that and that training. And as I mentioned, I think in the beginning, you have a deadline to register, which I believe is this Monday. Do you have to register before Monday or by the end of Monday day?
By the end of Monday day.
Okay. So people can go online and register by March 3rd at GenerationSoutheast.org. Oh, and I think one of the big things that I did mention this in the beginning, but there's no cost for this training, which is amazing.
Correct.
That there is no cost for this. And why is that? Why is there no cost?
We want to get this information out to as many people as we can to be able to help out our communities. And this is not just a local program. This is actually a nationwide program. It's a FEMA-based program. And anywhere you go in the U.S., this is all free training because it's helping build resiliency in each of those communities. So we're out there trying to do the greatest amount of good for the greatest number of people. And the more people we can get trained up to be able to help each other, help themselves, it's just helping the entire community.
I love that the community members become those who can help other community members in that time of need. And as Alicia mentioned, you're going to learn disaster preparedness, fire safety, disaster medical operations, disaster psychology, search and rescue operations, so that you can help out. Now, is the idea that these community emergency response team help the other services that already are in existence?
Yeah, it's so we're not going to be taking over the fire department by any stretch of the imagination. It's we're only going to be called out by them. So when they get to a point where they're like, we need some extra bodies, we need some extra help, they will call that team and they will request assistance. In the smaller communities, though, like for example, here in Pelican, they don't have a fire department. So this is more going to be the people are just going to have their knowledge, the skills, the ability, and the tools to be able to go help out those neighbors instead of needing to wait for days, potentially, you know, multiple days to be able to get response. Out here, we'll have people that are trained to actually go and help out those neighbors.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So they end up helping out, not necessarily being the responsible, because when I see things on the paper like, you know, disaster psychology, I think, oh my goodness, I have to be the one to, you know, help out in that situation. But really, you're going to be assisting those who might be doing, you know, the EMTs or the fire department. You might be helping to support them in what they are doing. Yeah,
exactly. And the disaster psychology is mostly just to prepare people that may not be familiar what kind of things may happen with a survivor as they're going into a potential disaster situation. So just trying to help out your rescuers, your volunteers, and then also a little bit of information on being able to support your survivors. So as that responder, as that search team member, you can also have a little bit of training on what you can do to be able to help out, how you can talk to a person, the things to say, things not to say, and those kind of times and means.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Okay. So, and I love that the fact, because I think you did this training, there was one of these trainings last fall or late last summer. I kind of can remember that. And like you mentioned, yep, that some of the first teams are going to be coming online in Juneau here because of that mm-hmm. training, right? Which is pretty awesome. So this is for anyone who wants to get involved. It's the Community Emergency Response Team training. It's happening March 8th, 15th, and 22nd. Those are going to be full days during the daytime. So you need to open your calendar for those days on the 8th, 15th, and 22nd. It's in person here at Generation Southeast at the Juneau campus. Virtual options also available in many other communities, Pelican, Cake, Kluckwan, Kasan, Saxman, Heidelberg, Angoon, and Kluwak. So if you know people in those areas, you can let them know about this training as well. There is no cost for this training, and you're going to learn all kinds of things to help out your community. It's all part of Tlingit and Haida as offerings to the community in partnership with Generation Southeast. And you must register by Monday, March 3rd. There's a limit of the class size of 30 people. Alicia, thank you so much. I know you missed your flight and you weren't able to get here. But I'm glad you were able to join us virtually. It was breaking up just a little bit there, but I think we got the information and I really appreciate you being here, and we'll get you in person next time.
Here's hoping. Well, thank you for being patient with the lack of Wi-Fi or limited Wi-Fi over here and doing the shuffle pivot for the last minute change in plans. So yeah, I appreciate the time. And
of course. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Going to the cheese for being here.
Thank you. You have a good afternoon.
You too. Okay, that was Alicia Sell from Tlingit and Haida. It's time next. It's time to start training for the Diamond Dash Super Sprint Relay Triathlon. Adult teens and kids of all ages can participate. We get the rundown from Tara from CBJ Parks and Recs next here on Juneau Afternoon from KTOO.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Thank you.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Stole a few hearts, but does that make me a lifelong thief? I walk tall 'cause
you're listening to Juno Afternoon. That's a little witty young man, creature of disbelief, played live here on the red carpet stage right here at KTOO. You are listening to Community Support at Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined now in the studio by Tara Patterson from the CBJ Parks and Rec. We have a couple things to talk about, but the big one is Diamond Dash Super Sprint Relay Triathlon.
Yes, it's a mouthful.
We need to come up with a what do you call that when you put all the letters together?
Oh, an acronym.
Acronym. So, but it's DDSSRT. That doesn't spell anything right now.
Nothing at all.
But maybe then you do the other thing where you take the letters and you make them into something else. Mm. But it's really cool because why is it called the Diamond Dash Super Sprint Relay Triathlon? All those pieces are part of it, right?
They absolutely are. So, first of all, the triathlon piece, it's a super sprint triathlon, meaning they're short distances. They're very doable for the average person.
Gotcha.
So our swim is 150 yards. Our bike is 1.25 miles and the run is half a mile. So instead of training for months to do a triathlon, you could train for a few weeks and be in good shape to participate in this. It's kind of an introduction to a triathlon, really.
I see. And I think that's where maybe there's also a little bit of disconnect is some people think this might just be for littles, right? But really it's not.
Great point. Yes. So we are doing a training camp for little kids in conjunction with this, but the actual triathlon is available for all ages, well, ages 8 and up. And we have different categories. So we have an all adult category because these are done in teams. I should back up and tell you that.
That
was the second part of the super long title.
Right. relay.
Right. Yeah. The relay piece means everybody on the team does all three legs, meaning every person swims, runs, and bikes.
Okay.
However, you do this in teams of three, and your total team score is all three participants run, bike, and swim times.
Okay.
So the cool thing about this is it's intergenerational. So if a mom and her two kids want to participate in it, they can do a team. And that's one category, mixed ages. We have one category that's all adults for those who are a little more competitive and want to see, you know, how well they can do against other adults. And then we also have a category for younger kids, ages under age 15, basically.
Okay. Yeah. So if you have, if there's like a couple of friends who are under 15 who want to do it together. So let me understand this. When you're part of a team of three, each one is a relay. So each section, like one time through the relay, I'm going to do the biking part. And then I'm going to hand it off to my pal who's going to do the swimming part.
No.
Or I'm going to do all three at once.
Correct. You're going to do all three, and then you're going to hand it off to your next team participants.
I see. Okay. Because, I was going to get, I was like, wow, if you did that other way, it would be a little,
it
be a little
get a
wild,
little
right?
Confusing.
Yeah. But so you're going to do each of these things yourself, and then you're going to relay it off to your team member, and then they're going to do it and relay it off to their team member, the last team member of your
group.
Correct. Okay. And then the total time becomes your score.
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah,
so remind
a lot to figure out there.
remind me what the distances are again.
Yeah, so the swim is 150 yards and it's kind of a cool piece, the swim piece, because it's not swimming laps. Instead, it's going to be at the Diamond Park pool, but all the lane lines will be taken out and you'll be swimming around the perimeter of the pool twice. So if you've ever seen the lap pool at Diamond Park, you're going to go around the perimeter of it two times.
Oh.
That's 150 yards. And then the bike is 1.25 miles. And the run is a half a mile. All very, very doable distances.
Those are very doable distances.
Yeah.
So it's a great place for people if you have an 8 and above, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not doing like 5-year-olds, but 8 and above, if they want to start getting into something like this, it's a great place to start. Or if you have a couple of buddies and you're an adult and you want to get together and grab your team and do it together, that's kind of fun too.
Right, right.
What a great event.
We'll have a fun little like after post-race celebration handout medals and awards and all that fun stuff.
Okay, so how do people get registered for this?
Super simple on our website. So junopools.org is one way you can access the registration. But you're going to go on and register your team. One person, the team captain, registers the team and pays the team fee.
Okay.
Once that is done, all three participants have to go in and register as individuals, but they don't pay anything. That's more just to get the consent forms, waivers signed, and all the personal information collected.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the main thing is getting the team registered. We can make sure and assist anyone who's struggling on getting their teammates signed up, or if there's any other questions.
JunoPools.org is the place to do that.
Correct.
Okay. And there is a cost, right? If you register by March 13th, it looks like it's $60 per team. We are talking about the race doesn't happen until April 27th, so you've got some time.
Correct.
But March 13th is the deadline to register, and that's coming up in just a couple weeks.
Yes. So
the registration.
Early registration, $60. The deadline's the 13th. We've got about 2 weeks. And then after that, the price goes up a little bit. It's $75.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's still possible to register after the 13th. It's just more cost efficient to do it now.
But what a great place to celebrate spring, get together with your family or friends, do a little adventure, get outside. Well, actually, are you getting outside for part of this?
Yes. Okay. The bike and run are all outside.
Okay.
Everything is contained within the Diamond Park vicinity.
Yeah. Okay.
But the swim is the only thing that's in the aquatic center.
Wow. And do you immediately like run outside from like, are you get out of the pool and then you run outside and then you hop on a bike? Is that how it's going to work?
Close. Yes. There's a transition area where the bike station is.
Okay.
And of course, people will have an opportunity to dry off and you know, put something, you know, over their swimsuit.
No, don't let them. Let them make sure they just get going, right?
They're going to bike on their swimsuit wet. Yep. No, we're not going to make you do that.
Okay. All right. That's going to be really, really fun. And that is Sunday, April 27th. The start time is 11 a.m. It's all taking place out of the Diamond Park Aquatic Center and the vicinity, as Tara just mentioned. And you can go to junopools.org or you can go to bit.ly/diamond-, and that's diamond, D-I-M-O-N-D, and all of that. And so, but you have some other events that we should talk about. There's a few things else that I'm seeing here.
Yes. So we have a few other things going on. I did want to start by mentioning we were supposed to have registration for preschool swim lessons on Saturdays and parent and taught swim lessons. The registration was supposed to open today, and we actually postponed it till Monday because the internet is down for so many people.
Yes.
We wanted to make it an equitable registration since those spots do fill up pretty quickly.
Right. Yes. There's a lot of people that cannot get on to any service today. A great day to listen to public radio, everybody, on the old
is.
Grab the radio and turn it on.
Right. So that's postponed until Monday at noon. If you were hoping to get registered today and you didn't have internet access, don't worry about that. Then, yes, we have a few other things happening coming up this month. We have springboard diving lessons starting next week. It's a beginner class. We have a fitness class starting next week called Healthy Bones and Joints. And that's going to be at the Augustus Brown Pool, 5:30 on Tuesday and Thursday evenings. And you can drop in and pay the regular admission. You don't have to pre-register for that.
And what's that about? Healthy bones and joints.
It's water exercise that's specifically targeted to help people who say they have, you know, a little arthritis, achy joints, have a hard time moving and exercising outside of the pool. Getting into the pool really changes the way your body moves, and it makes it a lot easier for your body to move. Aquatic exercise can be so therapeutic to people who might not be able to run, walk, bike, whatever, or do regular exercise outside of the water. There's no impact to the joints, and so it makes it a lot easier to exercise in the water.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people use it as physical therapy mm-hmm. because it offers the resistance, exactly. especially to like I've had some knee injuries and done a little bit of that. Okay, is there other things that are coming up?
Yes, we do have more swim lessons coming up. Registration is March 11th, and that's going to include a preschool and youth session of swim lessons at the Diamond Park Pool starting April 1st. It's also going to include something new we haven't done before with swim lessons, which is a Wednesday, Thursday morning preschool class. There's two different class times, but starting at 10 a.m. And that's a time we haven't traditionally offered swim lessons, but there's a lot of demand for our preschool swim lesson classes.
Mm.
Those fill up so fast.
Yeah.
And so we're trying something for younger kiddos who aren't in school 2 days a week in the mornings in April. That will start on April 2nd, and registration is also March 11th.
March 11th for that. Okay, that's great. And of course, you can find all of this information. Is it available all at junopools.org, or is it also on the Parks and Rec website?
Go onto the Parks and Rec website, you can click onto the pools and then get the information that
so
way.
So way easier just to go to junopools.org.
It really is.
Yeah, do that. And do you also have a Facebook page that people can follow?
We do. Our Facebook page is great. We have people who are dedicated to constantly updating it, and you should definitely be following it if you're interested in anything Parks and Recreation offers. And that also includes things like our facilities outside, our parks, big special events, the ice skating arena, the field house. Our Facebook page updates people on all those things.
All of it.
Yeah.
And does the I know that the Augustus Brown Pool reopened. Was it like last spring? Was it
it's
reopened?
Been almost a year now.
Been a year. That's what I was just thinking in my brain. And are we back to full speed up over there?
We sure are.
That's great. That's good for people to know. If you haven't realized that it's back up to full speed, because it was closed for a while.
It was closed, and then when we reopened, we had we had a hard time getting staff for the first month or two, so our hours weren't as extensive as they are now.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, the Diamond Dash Super Sprint Relay Triathlon is happening April 27th. It's at Diamond Park. You can register at junopools.org. It's a wonderful event for 8 and up, you know, 8 to 98, right? As
Correct.
They say, with
yes.
really good distances, 150-yard swim, 1.25-mile bike ride, and a 5.5-mile run, half a mile run.
Yes.
And it's a team of three, and you need to get registered. And what's the date you got to register by?
So the registration, that is a great question that I know the answer to. Give me one second here. While I'm looking that up, April 13th is the final day to register.
The final deadline, okay.
And I will also add children ages 8 to 11 need to actually participate in the camp that's happening. That's also part of Diamond Dash. It's also on our website. Or we give them the opportunity to do kind of like a prerequisite test to make sure that they can swim and use their bike before they go out into this big event.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Tara Patterson from CBJ Parks and Rec, CBJ Pools, thank you so much. Gunnath Cheesh for coming in today. It's a pleasure to have you here. I really appreciate it giving us all the information.
Thanks for having me.
Gunnath Cheesh. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. We are a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnath Cheesh, and have a joyous Juno weekend.